This morning we're going to take a look at a text that actually has a couple two different parts to it. One, Jesus in vague terms tells about how the religion of the Jews is going to be worthless in a short time, and one in which he talks about the troubles that will come towards the end. But it's very interesting because when you look at the first part, you find out that the sacrifices that the Jews gave are no longer necessary. And in fact, they never could take away sin. But Jesus Christ came that he would be sacrificed and would take away the sin of the world, including yours and mine. And because of this, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. Reading in Jesus' name. And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here? And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be one left one stone upon another, and that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign? And when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus, answering them, began to say, Take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Yet be not troubled, for such things must needs be. But the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. And these are the beginnings of the sorrows. Amen. As I said, the first part of this sets off the question. But we really have to kind of understand what Jesus is dealing with. Verse 1 says, And as he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said unto him, Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings. And Jesus said to him, Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. Jesus is at the temple. This is the place, the center of all that is holy and wonderful. This is where God said that he would meet mankind. This is it. There is no other place of worship. God prescribed how it was going to be built. He described all the wonderful ornate things that were in it. He described how the courts were to be set up. Everything there was set by God on how it was to be. And this was the center of Jewish worship. There was no other worship of God besides at the temple. And Jesus is about, and actually does at this point, tell them that the temple is going to be destroyed. This is a declaration that their worship is nothing. That their sacrifices were no longer going to be acceptable. That none of this that they were doing in this prescribed way as they saw it was going to save them. And our scripture reading really brings this out. You see, every priest stands at his service daily, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. All this religious practice that they had was worthless. It could never take away the sin. The offering of bulls and goats and lambs and doves and all those things that died at that temple were just a symbol of what was coming. And it really wasn't worth much. Because God already knew what He was going to do. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins. You see, Jesus Christ was a lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. God knew exactly what He was going to do when the time came. He was going to sacrifice His Son, the one perfect human being, was going to go to the cross and shed His blood for our sins. And now that wonderful, beautiful temple, we think of our building as a wonderful, beautiful building. It is. But in comparison to the glamour of the temple, the stones and the ornate gold and all the wonderful things that were there, this building would be considered a shack. And yet Jesus says, it's all going to be thrown down. And someday, as much time and effort as we put into cleaning it and keeping it up, this building will also be gone. For those of you who lived through it, you never could have thought of getting rid of the Franklin Street Church. It was a beautiful building where many, many people came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And yet when its time was done, God took it away from us. And He gave us a place where we have plenty of parking. Those who are handicapped are able to access all parts of it. And it was a much greater gift. And this is really what happens when Jesus says that the temple is going to be destroyed. He is going to give us something much greater than a place to go worship. He, through His death and resurrection, is going to give us a new life where our beings will be part of Him. We will be part of the living stones that build up the temple. How much greater is that than a building made of stone and wood? The temple was destroyed. And as far as I know, sacrifices are no longer made by the Jews. There's no place to sacrifice. And there is no sacrifice for us anymore. Last week on Monday, when I was at my hunting camp, we were sitting around the table and one of my uncles was cooking on the grill. And of course, the meat was fatty and the grill was hot, and he was cooking like most guys do, with as much heat as possible, as quickly as possible, because he didn't really want to do it. And I was sick, so I couldn't do it. And I looked outside on the deck, and it was dark, and he opened up the lid, and the flames are shooting all over, and I yelled outside, I says, do you not realize there is no more sacrifice? And he stuck his head in, and he says, I know that, but sometimes you got to burn something. But see, even in that joke, there's a bit of truth in that. We think many times, what must we do to sacrifice for our sin? There is no more sacrifice. God paid that price for us. We now can go to the Holy of Holies. We can go directly to God. We no longer have to sit on the outside of the temple where the gates were closed and the curtain was closed to the holy place where the altar sat. We can now boldly approach the throne through the blood of Jesus Christ. One of the things that I find interesting is when we come into church, we kind of look at this as a holy place, and it is. And yet, many times we have kids that come wandering up into the altar area at different times. And somebody asks me, well, don't you worry about that? Nah. Let them go before the throne boldly. With the faith that God is not there to strike us down. We have a new priest, Jesus Christ, who intercedes for us, who has shed His blood, not just for the forgiveness of our sin, but so that God will remember our sin no more. That we can now have confidence to come here. We can have confidence to pray to God Himself. Because He has opened that way for us. And this is the tremendous promise that we have, even in the destruction of the temple. We have a place now in the person of Jesus Christ. We are clean, washed. And this was really the start of the sign of the end. And this is kind of where the disciples get to as they come to the Mount of Olives after that. And He sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, and Peter and James, John and Andrew asked Him privately, tell us when these things will be. What will be the sign when all these things are to be accomplished? They want to know, when is this going to end? When is this going to happen? And Jesus goes on to give them some warning. And this is the main warning. And Jesus said to them, see that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, I am he. And they will lead many astray. You see, this is the dangerous part. That we would be led astray by fine words, by things that feel good for us, and not by the truth of the gospel. We are always to keep our eye on the ball. Our eyes on the person of Jesus Christ and what God has accomplished through Him for us. You can find all kinds of people that will tell you what you must do to go to heaven. My uncle told me Thursday night, we were talking, and he goes, I finally figured out why I go to the Lutheran church. And I looked at him and I says, well, what are you talking about? And he goes, I finally got it. He goes, all my life, I've tried to do something to be acceptable to God. And he says, I finally understood the message about 2 years ago, that I can do nothing. That God has accepted me for who I am. And see, this is the truth of the gospel. God takes you right where you're at. No matter what you may be in. And He loves you. And He proclaims His forgiveness for you. Do not be led astray. Understand that it is only through the working of God and what He has done through His Son, Jesus Christ, that we are even remotely acceptable to heaven. And then we're not remotely acceptable to heaven. We are absolutely acceptable because we are washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. We are sanctified. We are justified. We are set apart for His purpose. And now, as time goes on, we get worried. And especially now, in these days, we worry that the end is coming. And it may be. We hear of wars and rumors of wars. But this is not the end. Nations are going to rise against nation and kingdoms against kingdoms. There'll be earthquakes, famines. And these are yet the beginning. We are going to face some bad stuff. We shouldn't be surprised about it. He goes on in this chapter to say that we will be hated. We will be persecuted. All kinds of things are going to happen. But verse 13 says this, and I'm skipping ahead. And you will be hated by all on account of my name. But those who endure to the end shall be saved. Don't be surprised that we face bad things. Jesus has promised that we will. Have faith that He will preserve us and He will bring us through these things. He never promises us here that it is going to be wonderful and perfect. What He promises us is that He will preserve us and keep us to His coming. And He will keep all those who are His. Don't worry. Live. Proclaim the gospel. And know that the Lamb of God came for you and that you are forgiven in His name and shed blood. And in the end, He will take care of us as He cares for us each and every day. And that's really the message of this text. Mankind's religion is not worth it. Jesus Christ came as the one sacrifice for all of us. And that in the midst of trials, the trials and tribulations that we will face in our lives, He will preserve us and keep us. If we always keep our eyes upon Him and what He has done for us. And this is the simple message of what we are to do to get to heaven. What we are to do is to believe in what God has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. In His name, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You and we give You thanks for this day. Indeed, that You have called us. That You have called us to a holy and new temple. And not just to worship, to be a part of it. That Father, You have built us together to be living stones in Your Son, Jesus Christ. That we all have been sanctified and called for a purpose. To bring this message of the gospel to the people who we come in contact with. We ask, Father, that You would help us not to worry and not to panic because we face trials and tribulations or because we are persecuted. But, Father, that we would always look to Your Son. Look to the author and the finisher of our faith, knowing that You are greater than this world and that you will lead and guide us until that day. Father, we thank you for the sure promise that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask that you would help us by the power of your word and through your Holy Spirit to cling to that each and every day of our lives. In Jesus' name.